action.
We'll call the meeting to order. Thank you all for being here.
10:04.
We're going to try and be quick because there's a wedding at 1 o'clock. But it doesn't look like we'll have any problem being quick anyway.
10 to 1.
Pardon me?
10 to 1.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll be that. That's right.
It's larger.
Yeah.
Is the wedding in here? Or
yes,
is, okay,
right here.
Oh, man.
I all of a sudden I'm thinking of practical jokes, but that's not a good thing.
In weddings?
No. What can we do here? Like the wedding is
more
fun. Smoke bombs. I'm a perpetual sixth grader.
Yeah, it's good to have us.
We sent around the agenda with the proper notice to the members. We are now, well, maybe it's old news. We're approving the minutes from the prior meeting. Here, are there any suggested changes to the minutes from anyone who's reviewed them? That's always the condition, right? So I move we adopt the minutes of the May 6th meeting as circulated.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The treasurer's report, Sam.
The treasurer's report. On May 1st, 2017, we had a balance in the checking account of $16,287. We had expenses of $274. And we had a cleared balance at the end of May of $16,013.
Thank you. Is there any old business? I think I can report regarding the activities of what is now called the Alliance of West Marin Villages. With the Point Reyes Station Village Association leading, which is dealing with many really focused grievances with the National Seashore, at least suggestions, and with the urging of State Senator McGuire, the Village Associations have each sent a representative to form this alliance to identify shared interests and provide mutual support. In February, there was an all-communities meeting in Point Reyes, the focus and the discussion at that time was on traffic and waste, and the marching orders for the alliance going forward was to take ideas generated at that meeting. Yeah, I'll move down.
This is
the speak Spanish chair. The the meeting can now really begin.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Maury arrived. Okay.
So out of the February meeting came with the idea that we would carry forward ideas generated at the all communities meeting, a meeting of the village representatives. There's 11 of us in early April, and then a meeting April 22nd with Senator McGuire, representatives of Caltrans, Sheriff, Bodoni's office, DMV. And it was a good working session. Out of that has come another meeting of the Alliance representatives, which we had sometime in my vague past within the last 2 weeks. And we're following up on the 22nd with another meeting of the representatives. The discussion's been traffic, and it's addressed many of the concerns I've heard here and that are shared around. Bolinas has a parking problem with the new chaos regarding the trailhead at Alamere Falls. Yeah, now that Alamere Falls is on the map, they have chaos, and they're developing a parking plan. The Point Reyes Station concerns are signage. They're concerned that that seashore, national seashore signs are directing people into town and identifying, for example, picnic areas and bathrooms in town when everybody could be going to Bear Valley. Also discussions of a shuttle service to move people around. I would say the two focuses that I can report on, and I think I did last week or last month by telephone as well, are bicycles and the rumble strips that are being installed. I'm sorry we didn't connect, Jamie. At the meeting with the representatives, talking about the concerns which are manifesting of people having to pass bicyclists on Panoramic with it the only road, we asked your beach and I if we couldn't do something to open Highway 1 to bicyclists during the construction. And there was a lot of, and I'd be interested in your insight. Finally, I said to Caltrans, I said, look, you can go to your contractors and ask them how much it will cost to make their job sites bicycle safe on weekends. How much more do they want in the contract for that? And then when you get that number, you can decide whether you want to add that number to the contracts and have safety on Panoramic or deal with the chaos on Panoramic. So they're supposed to get back to us on that. Jamie, you did a survey of, you went through there to figure out if it was doable. And
what fences? I didn't see that sign, Your Honor. Well, in
Kenny, I think you have the best you go to the job site, so.
I do.
Yeah. So I'll be interested in what.
Please.
No, Jamie.
Several locals already.
I'm sorry, Jamie.
I know that there's several locals already that have received tickets for trespassing through there, and but what I know right now is all the soil that they're taking out for the construction project, they have to remove, and they're transporting it. That's why you see a lot more dump trucks to a holding place. Because now that Caltrans is, making them put the wall in, Caltrans wants them to take that soil to a holding place and then bring it back to hide the walls because somebody doesn't want to see the wall. So there's a lot going on up there. We did have one serious injury up there about a week ago with one of the construction workers where an air hose blew. But I do know from talking to the contractor that there's still steel plates on the ground, and if you put bicycles on the steel plates, there's a good chance that there's going to be accidents because the steel plates, of course, can't go up against each other. They shift a little bit, and if you get tires in between there, the steel plate that's going to, bicyclists are going to get hurt. Having driven through there a couple times for emergencies, I didn't feel comfortable taking a fire truck. I barely felt comfortable in my own truck. And I'm worried that if you do allow bicyclists to go through and there is an accident in there, who's going to be responsible for going in there and getting these people? Because we can't, we can't guarantee that we could get our equipment through there. Number one, they might be able to make it wide enough for a bicycle to go through, but their equipment's very large and it's on these steel plates on one lane. And if they have to move that equipment every weekend, you're only talking one day that they're going to be moving it because they work Saturdays also. So if you're going to spend all this time, 4 or 5 hours moving equipment on a Saturday, just to have to move it back in on a Monday so that bicyclists can go through on a Sunday, it's really going to even slow that project down even more. I'm just concerned, and there's no guarantee that you're ever going to get a rescue helicopter in between because you have a job site here at this end, but you also have a job site at the other end that they're working on. So that limits, you have no resources in the middle for an emergency.
Jamie will grant you immunity from trespass or any other.
Actually, I just drove down the park just before it opened from the top of the hill above Mill Valley, where the detour is there, down to Green Gulch.
Well, that's open now.
Yeah, and it was about to be open when I went down there. I drove to Slide Ranch, such as, because you can sort of see from a distance where the beginning of that work site is, and I've hiked up to the top of the hill here. My conversations have been first with Public Works here in the county, citing the problems of bicyclists, lots of bicyclists, and lots of cars going over the top of the hill. They're mindful of it. They don't have much of an answer for it yet. And I know just in the neighborhood there was a notice.
Next door, somebody said.
I'm sure there are others. I know that a site was put up, such as to have people respond to that. I don't know what's on that. But I did have a conversation with a gentleman who is in charge of transportation and safety for the county, and whose name I'll either find or not here in the next moment. And really nice guy, and who wants to be accommodating and is mindful that this is an issue and a challenge. And I think, to the extent that the Village Association thinks that it's a good idea, and Kenny, your thoughts about this obviously compelling, to put bicyclists on Highway 1 on Sundays. If we think, or we want to urge a serious examination of that, because we find bicycles and the increased traffic coming over Panoramic to be a real problem, and we urge them to address it, I think that'll help. That is the voice of the Village Association to say, please go take a serious look at this. We think this is a problem that we're confronting here. That would make a difference.
Well, we did that at the meeting, and the people that show up are high-level folks.
Fair enough.
And they know the problem. We've acquainted them with the problem, and I made the challenge that I described.
Yeah.
Kenny, from what you're saying, the challenge may be insurmountable. We discussed liability also, I said, and maybe you'll have to indemnify the contractors or get the policies amended to cover accidents. But you're saying there could be a bicycle accident, say a closed head injury. And
well, I think, I think you're talking about Bob Beaumont, maybe, Jamie?
It's not quite right. Again, I apologize.
But anyway, I don't think the county has anything to do with Highway 1.
Right, it's all CHP.
Two, I am concerned about accidents there and the liability of who's going to be able to respond to those accidents. I did ask Brad Middleton, who's the superintendent for the construction site, to come down to the Village Association meeting, and Caltrans said absolutely not. They will take care of their own because they're the ones that are, they're the contractor, or they're the agency that runs it. The contractor has nothing to say about it, and they won't respond on short notice. If you guys wanted to invite them to come talk, they'd be willing to come talk, but they're not going to come on a short notice.
Caltrans is talking to us in these meetings. That's who's there.
Yeah.
And that's the person I said, go find out. Is it doable?
But you're going to have to get Caltrans reps to come down. But I think the other thing is to think about is, if you have bicyclists and you want to put them all on Highway 1 on a Sunday, what's going to stop them from not going up Panoramic? They're still going to be entitled to go up Panoramic. And if you think about the mentality of the bicyclist, they start in Fairfax. They ride through the old bridge to Mill Valley. Then they want to go up Panoramic Highway so they can go Ridgecrest and back down to Fairfax. They're not going to want to come all the way around and then climb that hill again. You can't force the bicyclist off the road.
So is it realistic, given the situation that we're in, to restrict access for bicyclists on Panoramic until the construction is done?
Bicyclists are
they're called
very
so
organized.
Strong that they'll push.
Okay.
Well, they're a legal vehicle.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Part of the problem is not the bicyclists per se, it's the drivers who aren't aware that there's a law, 3-foot separation,
right,
which in a normal 12-foot wide lane is doable without crossing the WL line. However, most motorists, out of courtesy or, you know, mistaken courtesy, will pull well into the other lane, giving a 6 to 8, 10-foot clearance at times. And that's the danger to oncoming traffic, bicyclists or motorists, or motorcyclists as well. And, you know, it's a difficult, you know, thing to teach drivers, since it's not in the driver's manual or the test, but it is a state law, and it's a state law in 28 states now. For a good reason, because that is sufficiently clearance if you don't, you know, speed past them. If you slow down, you maybe put your driver's wheels on the bumps, the WL line, and you can pass safely. Now, obviously, if it's a child or someone who's wobbling around, you know, that's probably not sufficient distance. But most of the cyclists that are doing panoramic are very good at bicycling, and they're doing a straight line. You can tell that from behind.
Well, there are ways that it works out that each accommodates the other. It is probably happening 98% of the time up there. Bicyclists don't ride side by side. Drivers wait till there's sufficient visibility. And it generally, and bicyclists pull over if they're backing up traffic. That'll all work, but
it's education. It's the key.
It's not happening all the time, and because there are more of each, they're at greater risk.
You know, again, I'm going to say it, and not too many people are going to like it, but I think you need to ask for more traffic enforcement up there.
Well, that's where
there was an accident up there yesterday. Joe Lampier from here, Stetson Beach, we rear-ended because somebody passed on a blind corner of a bicyclist, and they came into her lane. She had to come to a stop, and the person behind her ran into her. So you could blame the bicyclist, or you could blame the person going around, but you also have to blame the person behind that was not paying attention and was probably too close. Mm-hmm. They need more law enforcement, and I've witnessed people passing over the double yellow line. People need to become more patient. If, you know, we've done this before with Highway 1 being closed for over a year when it closed down at Slide Ranch, near Slide Ranch before.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to do it before. But people just, you know, people, more cars and more people on these roads and more bicyclists, but everybody's in a hurry. All it takes is common sense. If you need to be over the hill at 10 o'clock, don't leave here at 9:30 anymore. Leave here at 9. And if you get there 15 minutes early, fine.
I think that you and I are saying the same thing, that those who bring common sense to it on each side solve the problems. Usually more drivers, more bicyclists, beach weekends, mountain play, Dipsy, all that adds up to a multiplier which increases the likelihood of a problem.
But
and
last
that's,
time I checked, this is not just our town. I mean, we have to share it with everybody else that's coming out here. So we have to be the stewards that say, slow down. We have to set the tone of how it's going to run. We can't tell everybody that you can't ride on our road because we don't want bicyclists.
Jamie, where we ended it was, in fact, the truth of all these meetings and all these problems is it's a commitment of resources. And if you locate enough money for 2 more officers, then you have that much more. They are saying they will have a greater presence to enforce the rules, including bicyclists blocking 5 or more cars. They'll ticket for that. And they'll ticket for crossing the double yellow line. We know that it's okay to cross the double yellow line if you do it safely. We've kind of gotten that unofficial word. But the, oh, there's probably no one there attitude isn't a good one. Jamie.
The gentleman that I spoke with at Public Works, who is in charge of Panoramic, said that they are going to create signs. They're mindful that it would be helpful to create signage that says, you know, here are the, when you're sharing the road, here are the rules for bicyclists, here's the rules about passing, and post those in a, you know, not sort of table pounding way, but in an informative way, such as to say, you know, be courteous, everyone. And to Kenny's tenor, I think.
So the bottom line is that they acknowledge a need for more presence on the road with sheriffs and.
But I go back to signs and I say, okay, people right now can't read where to turn to Muir Woods. They certainly can't read the sign that says pull out ahead 300 feet. And if you think they're going to be able to read a sign at 30 miles an hour that says, bicyclists, pull over for five cars, and they're not going to do that at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's just, what you need is to have a human being up there that starts writing tickets. And he needs to write the tickets to the people that live up here, too. Because they're I'll tell you right now, the worst ones on that road are the people that live out here.
I agree.
It's true. I got passed the other night by one of our residents in an extremely dangerous way.
And, you know, and as far as getting more...
Who is this guy?
Oh, no, a big truck. Construction truck.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we talked about that. Where's the sheriff deputy going to be on weekends?
What I'm saying is, in order to get the extra highway patrol to do that, stuff like that, they have to pay overtime. Go up and talk to the guys that are sitting on Highway 1 right now that are on overtime. They're not happy about it. They're being forced into it. So, you know, and it's because people can't read the signs that say, no trespassing, do not enter, no bicyclists allowed. So these guys, you know, they want to be home with their family on their days off. They want to see their kids, you know, on their days off. So, you know, it comes back to one thing, common sense. And there's a lack of it.
Or staying home. The other issue of all villages' concern is the improvement of Highway 1 with the paved pullouts and the addition of rumble strips. We had a presentation from Caltrans 4 or 5 months ago, and it for us includes the widening of the road through town, which we've been trying to get for generations. There's a controversy everywhere else over the noise that the rumble strips might generate. We were assured that there's going to be none through town. Also, Caltrans says these aren't like the Highway 37 rumble strips. These are mumble strips.
Mumble strips!
And they're not so loud. We didn't discuss noise because we were so happy, with the roadway through town, and the idea of improved and potentially added pullouts we found attractive. Inverness Park has written letters saying, "How did this get through? We didn't know about it." And I don't know how the noise from Highway 1 is going to get over there and bug them, but they're revved up about that. Maybe it's because I'm hard of hearing in this ear. I'm not worried about sound, but is anyone else? Is there anything I should carry back from?
What are rumble strips?
It's a cuts in the road at the yellow line so that when you go across,
oh,
it makes a noise.
Oh, I see.
These are the ones that are just south of the Bolinas turnoff for about 100 yards.
That's a different type.
It's going to be cuts in the road,
that's
I think.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
These are in the center lane.
Oh, they are in the lane.
Yeah.
Center lane.
In the center lane, so it's to keep, when you cross over, you hear a noise.
Right.
And that's a disincentive to going too wide around bicyclists, cutting corners.
It is, I mean, if you've ever been in an area where you hear that, it is kind of disturbing, but it just becomes a go-away sound, I guess.
I think we'll have it coming down the hill. I don't know how far they're coming. And Sam, you'll be able to report on the noise level.
Yeah.
On Highway 1, she will report
we're
on panoramic.
But they're not doing panoramic.
We're personally concerned.
No, it's not doing panoramic.
No, I know, but it floats up.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, we can hear voices from the beach.
I think it's an annoyance, and
I agree.
And I think actually, people need to be able to go across the double line to go past bicyclists and otherwise, and to make that more difficult or noisy or whatever. It's just a kind of a rudeness. You know, obviously, you just need to drive safely. We don't need that constant and obnoxious reminder to say, you know.
We may not.
Yeah.
And we're going to cross the double yellow line anyway.
Well, on, on Highway 29.
It'll make people move over further.
My personal attitude in listening to the discussion was, we came out for it, or at least we didn't oppose it. It had in it this thing that we, you know, we think of the time with Caltrans, saying, where's the easement and all that? Well, now they're going to pave it. So it had a perk in there for us, and we had the assurance that there wouldn't be the cuts in town. We're now told they're mumbles, not rumbles. My intent was to remain quiet and let the other villages with the concern do what they could do, and neither to say, to challenge it or to join. In other words, to say, hey, you know, it's going to be okay, just to remain silent. And if Inverness and Inverness Park want to complain about their failure to notice that the hearing in March at the Coastal Commission for the final permit was happening, they can do that. But they're a little revved up about that. If I don't reflect consensus, which is to remain neutral, tell me.
Well, have they measured? I mean, it's really hard to measure noise from highway traffic, and they rarely enforce even a motorcycle volume, much less, you know, this, the Ferrari club that comes through once a month. Or, and so, if this is going to save a few head-on collisions, which I guess is the theory, and it, I know they have worked to save my life where my brother fell asleep in breakdown lane had rumble strips and we woke up from them. I think that it might be worth it, but you'd have to test it out in a few places first before they go to the full scheme. Because look at the one, the part that I was mentioning just south of Bolinas, that was, I guess it was an experiment with the inset reflectors. And they just pool with water, and I guess they were already at fault of a cause of a motorcycle accident.
A couple of motorcycle accidents.
And so that was like an experiment that, you know, didn't work out. And this might also be an experiment that they should before they roll it out into a, you know.
The Caltrans rep told us, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That he would tell us where we could go and listen to him. And then he didn't follow up, and there's been a little bit of churn in the alliance about we don't know where to go listen to him. But
I think the other concern might be from, you know, Audubon people, you know, and the birds that it's going to disturb.
Exactly. Oh.
They're very open to site-specific changes. You know, we don't want them at our pullout to the ranch north of Point Reyes, and they're Caltrans saying, okay, we'll give you this kind of clearance.
Yeah.
So if Audubon Canyon wanted that,
then they
probably should do it. Mia?
That's kind of where we are on the southern part of Highway 1. We're working with them selectively on places where people are concerned that large buses go over the line. So it's not going to be a uniform mumble strip. It's just going to be in selective places where we're concerned about the large buses.
Yeah.
So they've given us that. Let's make a whole lot more noise. Than
do we want to deal with Caltrans over any specific areas here? Do we want to go back and make sure it's further up around the bend as Highway 1 comes down into town? Jamie?
Mike, I don't think it's too much to ask, but it seems to make sense not to have rumble strips within the length of Stinson Beach.
That's not happening. They're not in town.
My property is on the highway, and I do hear the highway going back and forth, and I'm at the place where you turn off to Arroyo, and I know it's the case for folks further up. They would be hearing it as well. So if it can start up somewhere
around
past
the curve
water
toward the school.
The school, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to me.
But I also think you need to have a space where there's not rumble strips, and that's like where the seal haul out is. And, you know, because we, you know, when we're responding on calls, we turn our sirens off there. So, because if you go through there with sirens and the moms are there with their little babies, there's a big scattering of the seals back into the water. So, I mean, there's sensitive areas along the lagoon that they need to look at.
Yeah, Mike, I kind of as the Black representative, I second that. But it might be something we should bring up at Black to see if there's...
Yeah, would you... it's important that the interested parties be mobilized.
Yep, I better let them know.
And the Village Association could do some things, but...
Jeff, that's your problem.
That's my problem.
Okay, so Audubon Canyon, where the seals are.
There's seal haul out mile marker 1456, I think it is.
Start beyond water district.
You're on the school.
Yeah, the school, how do we?
I think there's that big curve there. They
nobody
might.
Slows down for the school.
Yeah,
leaving.
It wouldn't be bad.
Oh, no.
I do if I see a school bus.
School
So I'm going to follow up with the Caltrans representatives and say these are our local concerns about mumble strips. And if, I guess I'll post on Nextdoor if there's an issue with, well, I'll just post whatever the follow-up is, if there is. So... I mean, they're real busy, except for when they're at our meetings. anything else?
As far as enforcement or sheriff stepping on Saturday around 5 o'clock, I went out and I saw that the traffic was backing up, and I saw the sheriff sitting in his car talking with the county parks ranger, and I says, aren't you supposed to be out there directing traffic because there's already a half a mile backup? He's like, oh, well, I get out there and direct traffic as a courtesy. And I'm like, really? Because I thought the county had deliberately posted you out here to direct traffic on weekends, summer weekends. And he wasn't aware of that. He thought it was just something that he could do on his own. And he said it was too hot and he needed to get in the car and, you know, air conditioning.
This was a deputy?
This was a deputy, yeah, on Saturday. And I really think deputies are not the answer because they are not really motivated to do the job. If there's two of them there, and I've seen this, and I think we all have seen this, they will spend hours talking to each other while the traffic can be backed up in the morning. You know, halfway up panoramic is going to be worse this summer. And in the afternoon, it can be all the way to school. And someone could be paid $20 an hour. I don't know what their overtime is, and I'm sure it's quite a bit more than that to do it. And we gladly, you know, do it without a break for 3 hours or 4 hours and either shift. And
we suggested at the meeting in February with a follow-up at the meeting with the senator and all, that using the model of the training that some folks have had in emergency services when there's a catastrophe, that people be deputized or identified as volunteers to step in and direct traffic. They need it at Bear Valley Road where it hits 1 in Olema. They need it someplace in Point Reyes Station, and we need it here at the stop sign. It's very complex. Liability, safety, you've got an orange vest on, but you're a civilian and cars are whipping by. So it's on the table. And generally, the villages support that because, again, it's a commitment of resources, and they're just not going to do it. If the guy's here not directing traffic, that's a different issue. Jamie?
On weekends at Muir Woods, there's a private firm called West Park Express that directs traffic on behalf of the National Park Service. The other person there has an orange vest and an employee of this contracting outfit. I stopped, got the guy's card, called him up, and I have a bid from West Park to provide traffic resources at the stop sign. It's $25 an hour. Their minimum is 4 hours, so $100 a day. On this last weekend, the Park Service used this same outfit at their entrance. I'm told I wasn't here.
I was. So.
Same rate. I said, well, you know, maybe both of us got together. Could you knock it down? I'm working for us here. So I don't know how many hours it might take, you know, and what sort of instructions might be given to this outfit, but there they are. They're available. They contract. They do this. They have workers' comp and all of that. He also sent me a copy of bid and contract that they have with the Park Service for 4th of July, where they're going to have 10 traffic directors from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. To patrol, I think, the inside of the parking lot and also at the intersection. But anyway, here's an outfit for, you know, $200 a day, certainly cheaper than paying a patrol officer. On the other hand, we'd have to pay it, or somehow we'd have to find the money to do that, whereas there we just, you know, say, well, our tax dollars, or whatever the answer. Anyway,
but, well, we can ask the county to pay it, but Mia, do you know anything about this?
Well, you're jumping ahead to my report.
Why don't we have Mia? Let's have Mia's report.
Well, in line of this, at Muir Woods, as you probably know, we have eliminated most of the parking on the road ahead of the reservation system. And so because we didn't have a way of controlling the volume of people coming, because we didn't have the reservation system, but we had very little parking, we had to do something to keep traffic moving and gridlock from forming at the entrance gates. On top of that, as you probably know, there's a big administration change back in Washington. So we are under a hiring freeze and a budget freeze. So we couldn't bring on more rangers. So our clever, out-of-the-box local boy comes up with a good idea, that's Dave Agnew, was to use the money that we couldn't spend on rangers for parking lot attendants at places where we wanted to keep the traffic moving. And the first experiment was Muir Woods, which worked very well last year. And we started on Memorial Day here at Stinson, and we are moving the service to Marin Headlands as well, because there's a problem around the Vista Point. And then we are expanding it to all the other known very busy times, like the 4th of July that Jamie was doing. So this is taking money that we can't spend on staff and just trying to address the problem of traffic flow. So it's working really well for what it does, which is keeping traffic moving. So it works. You have to know what it does and what it doesn't do, because it doesn't do enforcement, for example, but it is really effective. At Muir Woods, because when I was listening to you, as you probably know, Highway 1 was closed from Muir Beach to Panoramic Highway, so the people at Muir Beach were very, very upset. And so our answer, because everyone was going, all of them were going in and out via Muir Woods, our answers were, we brought parking lot attendants on every single day so that no one at Muir Beach would have to get stuck in Muir Woods traffic. And we canceled all of our commercial tours, we canceled all of our school programs, we canceled all of our special events that were not locally generated. For example, we could not cancel the Dipsy Race, the Mountain Play, or the Muir Beach Volunteer Fire Department, which brought more people in than Muir Woods does. So just to let you know, there's the tourist problem and there's the local challenges. So just to let you know, that's what we've done for Stinson Beach too. We've canceled everything that brings people into the park that isn't the so there's the parking lot attendance, which is out of the box, and it's great for some things, but you just have to be aware that it doesn't do some things. And we totally love it, and we've expanded it every way we can. And then there's these other methods to just kind of reduce the flow of traffic coming in. Now the other thing you should know is we legally cannot provide our parking lot attendants when there's other parking attendants on scene. So for example, next Sunday for the Dipsy Race, that race has to provide the parking attendants and traffic flow, so we can't have our people working that day. It's just kind of you can't be double paying for the same services. When you put your taxpayer hat on, you might agree with that. So anyway, so we're glad to talk with you. It's worked well for what it does. But You also have to remember that people don't like it because it just moves the problem somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So if you're in that alliance, you got to be kind of careful when you move the traffic along. What does Point Reyes or Bolinas think? What does, you know, you just have to get it through a little bit because it does something good, but it also has some problems.
Do they direct traffic? Would they stand at the stop sign and stop the...
No.
Ours have to be on federal land. So, yeah. So that's why Jamie's suggestion of maybe bringing an additional one on that could complement that and be at the stop sign. Because ours have to be, their feet have to be on land that we manage. So just, but we could maybe put an extra one on the pool and rotate them through or something like that.
If I move, we turn the Village Green into a national park.
Just the four-way stop sign.
The bitch says event location address through the stop sign on Highway 1 in the center of Stinson Beach. I mean, I told them exactly what the problem is. Basically, we want to take them, put a black bag over the top of the stop signs, stand there in a brightly colored deal with white gloves and go, you know, you guys keep coming, and now you all, you know, whatever the dickens that takes. And they are experienced in doing this. What they have done in Muir Woods is the guy kind of stands there at the corner, you know, and you come and you kind of want to go into Muir Woods and park, and he stands there and says, no, I'm sorry, there's no parking here. And then he says, it directs you down to that parking lot. I'm sorry, that one's full too, but if you keep on. And so he communicates, stands there, and kind of does it. Here, I think it's a much more of a...
I see lots of problems, but Kenny?
I see lots of problems too. Number one, over in Muir Woods, it dumps out onto a county highway, not a state highway. I have directed traffic down here. It's very scary, especially in the afternoon when you got people that have probably been drinking on the beach. Mm-hmm. We don't wear orange anymore because look at the orange cones that got run over on the side of the road. You know, you're kind of like a target. But you know, the biggest thing, the other thing that is the biggest problem is you can have somebody in that intersection waving cars through, but the person that was trying to get to the grocery store that's going to step out in front of those cars because they don't want to stand there and wait while the cars are flying through. It's pretty much a law enforcement deal. And, you know, we've asked the law enforcement not to wave the traffic in coming into town in the morning because, you know, and it's getting better now because they do have somebody in the park directing people to the parking areas. But for a while, there wasn't rangers out here. There was a shortage of rangers, and all they did was put up the sign that the lot was full, but you could go in and drop off and pick up. Well, and you could just make that loop. All that did was create a great big traffic jam. And what you're doing when you're trying to direct traffic coming into town and the park is full is you're now creating waves of cars going that way, and then they're trying to find something from that end towards Seadrift, and then they're coming back, and it just, you know, if they just filter in slowly, their chances of finding a parking spot are a lot better.
So the problems I see is if we hire them, it's our liability. So
absolutely.
The Village Association isn't going
to
hire them.
And I, you know, and
can
they
we
asked me to do the traffic, and I said I don't want to do it anymore, and I don't want to go to their traffic enforcement school to learn how to do it. You know, I don't have 48 hours to commit to, you know, wave my arms.
Well, if we do have folks that want to do that, then we can follow up on that.
That means citizens within the village?
Right.
I don't know why we can try this one time and just see if it does any good.
Well, but no, the problem, Barbara, is if we pay them and they create a head-on collision between a neurosurgeon and a lawyer, it's
a lawyer,
it becomes our problem. How much insurance? Whose insurance is it?
If we continue with the sheriff's deputy, which seems to be obvious, like what's going to happen, can they at least be told this is not a courtesy, that they're there for a reason?
Well, that sounds like an anomaly. It's not what they're saying in our meetings. Mm-hmm. Kenny?
I think the best thing that you could do as far as the sheriff's department is contact Lieutenant Doug Pittman, talk to him. Mm-hmm. As far as direct, having a private firm come out here and directing traffic, I would talk to the captain of the highway patrol and see what he has to say about a private firm taking over directing traffic before you take in upon any liability for yourself.
By the way, it's she, the captain, I think, or at least the one who was at our meeting. So they're right there. Pittman was sitting next to me. I mean, I can talked
about. Yeah, so you have it.
And I would also say this idea about using CERT trained people. We discussed this. Kenny and I attended a meeting of the West Marin Disaster Council, and it came up when people said there were so many road closures this winter that the county ran out of signs to tell people there was a road closure. But it's not just a liability issue. As Kenny pointed out, people who are trained for CERT don't receive training in how to direct traffic. It's a specialized program. And, you know, when it came up, Kenny and the other fire chiefs said the biggest job they have is keeping people out of unsafe situations, and they cannot put people into unsafe situations. So the Disaster Council and CERT can have nothing to do with putting volunteers in a traffic situation.
That is a model. Not that that was what would be implemented. That we would not that we'd go to Disaster Council and CERT, but there's this process and could it be adapted?
Yeah.
I'm mindful of time.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Well, I'm willing to call at Kenny's suggestion or yours, the Highway Patrol, and I guess talk to Caltrans. I mean, I appreciate we don't want to hire these people. We want them under someone else's authority, some official authority, and if they'll. Whatever the process is by which they're either deputized or somehow authorized. So why don't I follow up on that and see.
Are you on our traffic subcommittee? You are now.
Okay.
I would start with Doug Pittman, who's a source of all knowledge and very cooperative. Would you agree, or would you go straight?
I think Doug Pittman is the best one, but I think anybody that thinks that it's easy to direct traffic out there, I think they should go home on a hot day and practice this for a half hour in the hot sun.
Need that.
Yeah,
the first 15
it's
minutes.
Like yoga.
Your arms are going to get heavy.
I think beyond just the safety part of it is people are very verbally abusive.
Yeah,
and
are.
You would be opening yourself up to some serious verbal abuse if you did something like that.
The other thing again goes back to when you're standing in that intersection down there, you got an audience up there at the grocery store.
Yes, the hecklers.
Cheering. You know, they most of them live here in town, and they all got a better way of doing things.
Now, everybody restrain their self. We did talk about parking also, but I prefer not
to save that for next month.
Really, really quick question.
Yeah.
Who are the reps from Muir Beach and Bolinas?
Jennifer Blackman.
She's
head of
BIPA,
and Linda.
Linda's doing it.
Okay.
Thanks. Just gonna take the note.
Okay, Neil, you want to continue, and so we can get you out of here.
So the first bit of good news is that, except for a handrail, the accessibility project at the beach is finished. The accessible picnic area, pathways, restroom, and boardwalk down. So I hope that you've had a chance to go out and see the improvements there. The little papers tucked into the accessibility project report is that what I've been told is called the crumbly is fixed. So, you know, that's that broken asphalt near the bridge behind the park side, so somehow that miraculously got fixed, but don't ask any questions. It just got done.
Was done by the people who don't own it.
So that's the hidden good news in the report there. The other good news is that we got a real robust pool of applicants for the Junior Lifeguard Program, which is even bigger, or like more kids than ever, and they'll be coming on board real soon and going through all kinds of first aid, but not traffic control training. So we'll have our junior lifeguards out there real soon, so that makes us feel real good. And then I just thought I'd tuck in some area news, which is that the biologist at Arvon Canyon Ranch, Gwen Heistad, is being recognized with a significant award by WildCare. So give her a big pat on the back. There's the sea level rise event that the county is sponsoring. Part A is out there right now. Part B is coming up on June 14th. And then, of course, the Dipsy race on June 11th. And then I just wanted to express my sympathies about this Highway 1 stuff because it's a big challenge for us with all the closures, too. So totally sympathetic with all the different challenges. So it's sure nice that the southern section is open because that means our shuttle is running, which takes 25% of the cars coming to Muir Woods off the road. So it doesn't affect you too much, but at least it takes the cars off Panorama Highway.
Should we talk fence painting?
Yes. Yeah, so what's up with that?
Jim, what? you guys volunteer. How could I have guessed? You have graciously made a gift to the Village Association,
a donation,
which we have agreed to donate to fence painting, it becoming green, but it still seems pretty non-green to me. So what's up?
Well, it appears that the wet season is over, first of all, so that we can paint, and we are organizing, Jane and I, to have it done. So I'll have to talk to you about what we need to do to be able to kind of sort of accommodate the painter and schedule it with him. Everybody's busy. It appears as though it might be a Saturday project or two Saturdays to finish the project. So in terms of accessibility to that and the running of electrical cords or whatever, I'll be in touch with you. I still have your card. It's still the same information.
Yeah. So we're totally behind it. I know how to get there. We have the details with the park worked out. We have the blessing of our maintenance and project crews. So now that the rainy season's over, we'll just get it done.
Good.
Great, thank you.
And in terms of the donation, through it all, has that all been worked out?
It hasn't been.
Okay, but you know, we know
what
we're going to do.
Check and give it to Sam.
Right.
That's my assumption.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
And then you'll take the 900 that's left over.
Put it in our travel budget.
I'm curious about the new septic system. Is that functioning? Is that working as planned?
I haven't heard any issues. I think it's working as planned. You know, it's out of the sea level rise corridor. It is solar powered.
You flush the toilet and nothing bad happens.
I hope so.
The usual septic judgment.
All bathrooms are open at the beach. So
we could all
the
try
north end were closed for a number of months, but everything's open and running. So.
Good.
Yeah, you know, it's like I kind of assumes everything's working well until someone tells me it's not. So.
Kenny?
Mia, can I ask you to pass on to the Park Service that we need extra patrols out by the Army bunkers up at Whitegate, because especially Friday and Saturday night, we've noticed a couple raves lately.
Okay.
And I was coming back a couple weeks ago, and there was a fire drill out there at that time. I kind of like the mountain, the color it is now.
Having eyes and ears like that really helps us to strategically put people. So
yes.
Thanks.
So what they're doing is they're parking down a steep ravine by there and hiking up.
So who has the most? Who's the most pressed for time? Azalee, Maury.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mia.
If we go into LCP and sea level, that'll take us a little while.
I can be here for.
Okay. Do you have a report for us, or should I say, Catherine?
Yes.
We like brief today.
Yeah. I think I see some bridesmaids hovering in the
right. The bride is changing back over there.
We just announced that everyone is welcome at the Stinson Beach Firefighters Association's annual Father's Day Pancake Breakfast, which is going to be held this year on Sunday, June 18th, just happens to be Father's Day, from 8 to 11 a.m. at Firehouse 1 around the corner, Shoreline Highway. And this year, all proceeds and donations will be used to help fund a new water rescue craft for the brand new water rescue team on our volunteer fire department. And more details will be posted on Nextdoor. So watch Nextdoor.
Thank you. Maury, you want a water district?
Oh, sure.
Water report?
Thank you, yeah.
I'm picking and choosing in the agenda.
We got the news from the governor in Sacramento that they have declared the drought to be over. So we are making the same declaration that drought is over. And to celebrate, we're going to have a coloring contest. Everybody got this in there.
I thought we were going to get free water.
Well, that's one of the prizes, Kenny.
What about colors? You got the crayons for us?
No, we just have... Right, we, you know, the district can only do so much. So anyway, we're going to do that. On a more serious note, we are doing maintenance on the Highlands tank number one. We are going to recoat it. We have the bids in for that. They came in below the engineer's estimate. And the total bid for the inspection services and for the actual coating itself is going to be right around $300K.
Wow.
A little bit less than $300K. That's kind of my report. Barbara, you got anything to add to that? No?
Jamie?
Well, can I just ask one that question? I notice on the weekends you all lock the parking lot at the water district. And parking is really at a premium. And I appreciate that you all have looked at this issue before, but might you look at it again and see if there isn't some other way other than denying those 12 parking spots, which are pretty critical, right? It'd be nice to let folks...
Okay, well, we're going to have a district meeting in a couple of weeks, and I'll ask
we
Ed.
Absolutely to, will.
Yeah.
One of the restraints before was the fact that our butane or propane tanks were down at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
They had subsequently been moved,
right.
But I don't know whether that would be.
Thank you.
Anyway, whoever wants to color, I'll leave without crayons.
A large batch.
Right.
Maybe you can sponsor a flush-a-thon.
A flush-a-thon?
Yeah, that's it. Isn't that how you vote? Everybody votes. Somebody's out of the tank measure.
I like Moore's reports. They're really good.
I do too. We've now gone beyond reporting on our mutual water gauges. I quit paying attention to mine at about 52.
I think we might have hit a record. Mine got up to like 60 inches.
Yeah. Okay, looking through, do we have a Bolinas Lagoon Advisory? Do you want
to
just give your
the,
various reports,
yeah,
Jeff?
I'll keep putting different hats on. Yeah, Bolinas Lagoon Advisory is real simple, and I did post on Nextdoor already. There will be a meeting coming up that's a special meeting. I will let you know when it is, because as of last week, my understanding is it moved again, but my guess is it's going to be in August at this point. That will be a meeting where they will have the final plans for the North End project. And I'm not sure if everyone is aware, but they are moving forward fairly aggressively now to remediate the Y, which basically means take out the crossover at the Y. And probably, if we get Caltrans to get the funds, elevate some portion of one there so that there's better water flow going back and forth and reroute the creek along Bolinas Salima Road, and that they think will alleviate a huge amount of flooding in the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to solve, unfortunately, the biggest problem, which is the one over by, you know, ACR. But if we can get started, we're hoping, from what we've heard from Caltrans, they'll kind of keep moving down the road, looking at elevating over the years. They think of this as kind of a wedge project for them. So if you're interested in giving feedback or learning more about what's going to go on with what's going to be a pretty major project once it gets started, show up in August. There's one other thing that happened. I don't know that anyone here is going to be real concerned about it, but just so you're aware, you might have seen on Nextdoor, there is a property, the old Leonard, I haven't been here long enough to remember them when they were there, but the house out on the lagoon, as you go to Bolinas Lagoon. Yeah, thank you. That is owned by the county. People generally aren't aware. The house is basically completely irredeemable. I mean, it effectively just has to be torn down. The whole property is eroding into the lagoon. So what they're looking at doing is probably making it into some sort of a public parkland area, almost certainly without drive-off access, because it's not really practical.
So again, the county is taking feedback at the moment. If you have strong concerns about what happens with that property, post them on next door or let me know personally and I'll relay.
Is that on the Bolinas Road?
It's on the Bolinas, right. Yeah. So again, it's not, it doesn't really impact Stinson all that directly, although you can kind of see the house from the lagoon if you look for it. Do you want me to switch hats?
Sure.
Go right into sea level rise. I don't actually have a whole lot to say about sea level rise and the LCP right now because we seem to be pretty stalled. There was a Board of Supervisors vote last month. Some of us went up there. Thank you for those that did. We had a pretty good turnout. Actually, we had an amazing turnout from the ESA folks. From Marshall.
Right.
They're very, very active right now. The Board of Supervisors did what we asked for and what their own county people asked for, which is they passed all the policy level changes to the local coastal program other than environmental hazards. So these are include, for instance, downtown and village character issues that have been worked on extensively in the past by folks here. They seem to be reasonable policies at this point. A lot of the devil's in the details of the implementation component that turns into county code. At our request, and at the request of CDA, all of the county code implementation was not voted upon. So it was not approved by the Board of Supervisors. Practically speaking, what that means is that none of the code implementation of the policies will happen until we resolve environmental hazards, which, as you probably know, is our big issue for anyone relatively low-lying down here. That's basically where we stand today. County Coastal Commission was very upset. A lot of semi-nasty stuff got said. Yeah, I don't know that it's...
The showdown's coming, huh?
So the showdown's coming, and we're not sure where it goes from here, because the idea was that there was going to be, and Mike, I think you're involved in this, it was going to be a meeting of the heads of the impacted kind of stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So that would be the village associations like Seadrift, Jennifer Blackman from BPUD, I presume the Water Board has been invited, I don't know who from it, if it's Ed or one of you. Brian Crawford was organizing this through CDA. We were supposed to meet on this in May, then it was supposed to be in June, and it's just up in the air, and talking to Tom Lai, he looked despondent. I think they are having so much trouble even getting time from the Coastal Commission staff to get it opened, because Coastal Commission has to approve that they're going to come to this meeting, and they haven't even got that yet. And so what we heard last time offhand from Nancy Cave at the Board of Supervisors meeting was, none of this is going to happen until next year. Like, throw up her hand. I just don't have time for this. She said a couple unprintable words.
Let me interject. Nancy Cave is an attendee at this consortium that
okay.
I go to.
Well, I guess she has time to go to that. She doesn't have time to work on her.
If I knew anything, I'd talk to her.
I would stay away.
She's very helpful, but she isn't going to stop the showdown between the two staffs over what environmental. And the county, anyway, you can
I think at this point it's going to take Dennis, our new supervisor, unjamming this. So we're either going to see this go into limbo and never get resolved at all, which might not be the worst outcome, actually, because even the compromise LCP and EH that we've worked out is much more restrictive to homeowner rights and village association village rights than what we currently have, including some pretty major changes in the downtown commercial core and where people could live and where they can't live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if it all went away, it might be the best solution. Yeah. I think Dennis doesn't want that, so he's going to try to bring some compromise positions to the table. And the only other thing we found for that so far, that's why I asked about the other reps, because there's a few that are also important in the LCP process, is possibly there's been a Newport Beach LCP that's news to us that just got approved. It's much less restrictive. So the new strategy seems to be, hey, maybe let's look at that. And Dennis himself has looked at it as well. We're going to try to talk to him about that. And could we use that as a model? And it is far more acceptable than what we currently have. And if we took it all the way to the head of the Coastal Commission staff and to the commissioners, I think they'd be a little hard pressed to say, well, we have to treat Stinson or West Marin much differently.
That's good news.
The best news I've gotten in a while, other than we didn't get the IP passed. So
knock on wood, I mean, we just don't know much more, and we'll let you know next door when there is going to be this meeting.
Excuse me. Are there other counties that with whom we are cooperating or with whom we might cooperate and who have the same sort of interest as us? And I see Orange County.
Yeah, so this has been asked before, and I always went, we're not sure, we keep trying to find them. We now have more of that going on. I think Orange County has kind of led it. There's something called the Coastal Alliance, something Coastal Alliance. It's really more made out of Southern California Homeowners Association, so more like Cedars kind of things. There are a few cities that are involved who've been going through the process. They have their own lobbyist. So this bill that's going, attempting to go through right now in the state level, they've had a lobbyist and actively working against that bill and trying to draw on the realtors and other people.
Mm-hmm.
We are in touch with them. I've talked back and forth with their folks a couple times, the coalition people.
Okay.
And I'm now in touch with some Southern California HOA and county reps. We'd like to see more, but...
somebody in the East Shore or in whatever the rough coalition in
ESPG,
is monitoring... monthly the LCPs that are coming up for approval.
Right.
So I hear about it, but...
Tom Riley, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, he's got a specific task from them to look at every LCP that's in progress or has been. That's where we found out that this one got passed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting.
I have a question. What does that do to us? Are we wise to sort of put our LCP planning off? Are we wise to... what? You know, we're in the process ourselves of...
Well, the we has to include a lot of people at probably up to Brian Crawford and at the political level, strategic evaluating that we can't do. What do you think, Jeff? I mean,
it's a tricky strategy debate.
Right.
See,
I'm just not interested in that
know.
We go ahead and do our thing and then we're sort of out of sync.
Well, we did our thing and... the county's reaction has been, you don't like that, and you won't come to the table, we'll stick with the 1981 version.
I'm pretty sure that's the staff's preference at this point.
Right,
to be honest.
Which is,
yeah.
You know, we're not playing the game anymore.
Right.
Okay.
And Nancy Cave's kind of said she's not playing the game anymore, so I think everyone's kind of taking their marbles right now. I think the wild card, and going home, the wild card is pretty much our new supervisor. So I think the question is going to be, you know, I'm kind of keeping in touch on all of it, but to your point, I'm not really pushing anyone right now.
Exactly.
I'm kind of like, let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I also, if Dennis jumps in there and starts grabbing people and bringing them together and say, we're going to solve this because I'm not going to let us drop it,
I get the
then
impression.
We need to figure out how to coordinate with that, co-opt it, get out in front of it, and probably the biggest thing we're have a meeting with him coming up.
I get the impression from him that his main function is that it's agriculture and farmlands.
Well, and that's one of the issues, which is if he doesn't get his LCP implementation component through, right, the IP part, which did not get passed this last time, he made it clear he was not happy about not knowing when it will happen.
That's right.
He loses all the agricultural implementation components that both the environmental and the agricultural people up north have fought over for 8 years.
Right.
He pretty clearly doesn't want to lose that. Now, ultimately, the perfect solution would be for the legal people to convince him and the rest of the county and the Coastal Commission and fight out in court if they need to, that they're totally fine to go ahead and pass the implementation on the ag stuff and just sever.
That's
the
key.
That would be by far the best thing for us, although then there are some remaining commercial
corrections. Yeah, he'll leave us alone.
That would be, you know, if I could navigate it subtly, that'd be the way I'd try to push it. But again, you know, like Mike said, there's dozens of constituents in this process, and we're influential because we kind of have a leading voice, but there's a couple other big...
And I have to say this new alliance, and they act like we matter at the meetings we have. So, and McGuire, the state senator, is driving it hard. And Radoni, he couldn't make the last meeting. But it is a channel for us. You should, if you have messages you want me to carry.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The next meeting is June 22nd. I'll be in Seattle. So we'll have to have someone else. might be interested in going.
I'd be happy if you prefer, okay. Unless one of the other board members wants to do it.
That would be nice. Not that I don't love any of you, but I think it would be
I think it'd be great.
I'll
talk to you about
it. The one thing I'm not sure I'm as versed on are the nuances of traffic and noise and so on. So,
and this is a traffic and waste issue.
I may not be the best.
We'll talk on our
side. We can figure that out. One final thing. So if anyone has any other LCP questions, let me know or watch next door. Because I post pretty regularly. I try to be not overpost, but when there is major news, I try to get up there. This was mentioned real quickly before, just so people are aware, there is this meeting coming up at the community center in a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks on Wednesday. I don't think I can be there. It is really the end of the process of the C-SMART thing, not the LCP part. If you're interested in attending, there's a very interesting report. It's about that big. It's 250 megabytes, so I didn't post it in Expor. I can get you a paper copy if you're interested in reading it. It does have county recommended solutions for addressing issues here, including what they need to do to look at Highway 1, probably the number one thing they're looking at, and the number two is probably what to do down on the Cayes with Cayo del Arroyo. And try to figure out how to address issues there. The third one is septic. So do you know more? Have you guys gotten a copy of that adaptation report?
Jeff, I've been out of town for the last 5 weeks, so I don't know. But I will find out.
Yeah, you may want to. I know it went to the power. I'm just not guessing on it because I saw a mail about it. So you may want to find out if they're proposing things that kind of, I know you guys, you don't want them messing with septic and water oversight that you guys have, right? So maybe just want to watch about. It's the most it's already floods out in big storms, and it's probably just going to get worse. No one knows how fast, but certainly during king tides, we're already seeing it get pretty deep. And in a big storm, in the 80s, it was impassable for about 3 days. People
I think
back and forth.
Clint told me he had a picture of a seal swimming across in front of the garden.
Oh boy.
I got through my truck. I just went down there because it was fun. But anyways.
My worry is we have something like that and we have a big storm. We can't get people out of,
No, there's no question about it. You get winds, rain.
They've made some improvements to Escoot Creek.
Yeah.
And that seems to help the situation at least. When the tide becomes low again, the flooding subsides to the point where you can
get
in and out.
So at the very end of this, we have for the good of the order, and in between that, there's all the people that usually report, and I kind of know who they are. Is there any other report?
Oh, can I put one more hat on?
Yeah.
Real quick? just to let you know. So I'm now the president of the Seagrass Association.
Okay.
So I will be, thank you. I don't know that's something I wanted, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, I have found the things they want you to do. Can you, how do I get on this alliance?
It was literally 24 hours and later, I had three nasty mails in my inbox.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Congratulations.
But the more important thing is we're going to talk about it at our next board meeting. I think we're going to try to make, Paula had started it. It was a little subtle, but she was trying to get board members to attend as often as possible here. We're going to make a real effort, I think.
Oh, that'd
sure
be great.
That
thank
someone
you.
From the association out here and communicate more back and forth. I think it's just only beneficial because we're all part of the same community.
Great. Exactly.
That's,
it's always been our attitude.
News.
Thank you very much. And send word back to everybody how much we appreciate it.
Sure. We'll do that.
Yeah, indeed.
I'll bring that to the board meeting.
I have a report for the Art Contemporary Marin.
Okay.
Claudia sent this through. She says, some of the senior board members will be ending their terms at the end of the year. ACM is looking now to enlist new board members so that they can get acquainted with ACM before those board members head out. People interested in the arts and the community are welcome to contact Claudia, and the email is info@cchapline.com, and I will post that online as well.
And we have a mailbox that Lee is in charge of regarding traffic, right. So we have publicized this this mailbox, and we only can assume that the spam filter is working too well because no one has email, but StinsonTraffic@Lee, L-E-E, Pollack, P-O-L-L-A-K, all together, LeePollack.com. If you have a traffic observation, complaint, or whatever that you want to bring to our attention for follow-up.
Has anybody posted any? Do we know?
We haven't heard a word. Must not be a traffic issue. So is there anything else we should address?
Westmoreland Senior Services.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. We're also looking for a board member from Stinson Beach. It's not a huge commitment, of course. Ann Walsh is resigning, and so she has kind of asked me to spread that word, and particularly look for people who are interested in fundraising, and you know, that's mainly fundraising, yes, because that's, we're in our annual fundraising drive, or is it semi-annual, and like any nonprofit, it's fairly critical to have, you know, donations at this time. So if you did get a request in the mail, if you feel generous, please do so. And if you didn't, you can go on the website WMSS.org, and there's places to donate, or there's cars can be donated through a company that comes and tows them away. If you know your neighbor's car that you're really tired of.
There's a great.
It depends on how the grass is around the wheels.
And so generally, yeah, there's a lot of concern about the new proposed federal budget, and generally, if that is passed, I think most social services on the coast, including the Coastal Health Alliance, will be severely constrained, and probably be a disaster for most rural areas, including ourselves. So.
Well, keep us informed of how the funding looks. So that we can lend village association support to
That's $16,000, you mean?
our balance. I move we give them $100.
You can trust me.
I withdraw the motion. Anything else?
I have an announcement. My daughter, Lynn Fuller, is kind of a one-woman foxtail eradication committee. At least in Seabrook, she runs around getting rid of all the foxtails along the road, having two dogs that tend to pick these things up. And as dog owners know, it can be very serious. So she did notice that the famous stop sign at the corner is quite well festooned, surrounded by foxtails, and wondered whether that's our job or the Caltrans or who owns the corner with the stop sign by the grocery store.
I'm sure it's Caltrans' responsibility.
So,
that's...
Will we just tolerate foxtails that they...
Well, I don't think anybody'd object to her pulling them out.
Well, she was hoping that with all the money that the village association has, that they might be able to hire somebody to sort of do maintenance, because the whole corner is very scruffy looking, with a lot of weeds.
That's really beyond what our charter is, other than to support anyone. I mean, that's where we ultimately went on the Highway 1 walkway. Just a bunch of people appeared and cut stuff down. So,
okay. Well, I'll tell them she's permitted to.
She's encouraged.
She's encouraged. Here's a little help to that. As part of the walkway through Stinson Beach, one of the other things that they're looking at is the ditch that's on the uphill side of Highway 1, which is all sloughed in and all filled up, and now when it rains, it just kind of swashes across the beach. So part of that, at least they tell me, was that they would add that to the bid list, and that is to keep that ditch going all the way down until you practically get to Pinos, where there's a culvert that goes underneath and it's supposed to take all the water that comes off the hill. And that means opening up.
Who's supposed to do that?
Caltrans as part of their project. So I don't know if that's of any solace, but there's something that... It's coming, when's it coming? I don't know, next year.
Caltrans, you may have noticed, if you've been driving in and out of town, there's weed mitigation going on Panoramic the Park Service, State Park Service, is taking care of the weeds on the roadsides through the park. Caltrans is mowing on the sides of the roads that are not in the parkland. And so this right-of-way through town is a Caltrans right-of-way, and I just have a feeling they're working their way through, as they do every year. But they started up there, and they're coming this way.
I thought it was Department of Public Works on Panoramic.
Was it a DPW?
I think so.
County? Yes, you're right.
Yes. It's a county road.
And it's the best job they've done in all the time I've been in town.
Right.
Where are they working?
I misspoke. DPW, the Department of Public Works, is doing Panoramic Highway that isn't on state land.
No.
The one thing, speaking of pulling weeds, the community center report is
there's a volunteer day,
which is on the 17th, and there's lots of work to be done, including cleaning solar panels and pulling weeds and lots of things.
Can I put this on your list?
too far from the community center.
That's a bit of a stretch.
And there's also, the community center is sponsoring Audrey Ald, Music by Audrey Ald concert, which is on the, I think it's Sunday the 14th.
It would be the
11th. Then. The 18th is
Father's Day.
So I think it must be the 11th.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, anything more?
I don't think so.
Sorry I ignored you.
I'm
mindful of the wedding.
Yeah, so am I. So, the flood board had a meeting. Admittedly, it was before last time, but
right.
I wasn't here, and I'm not sure.
Okay, tell us what's going on.
Well, just to let you know, there's... Dennis Rodoni came out actually and had a look at the catchment basin that's there behind the park side. The plan is to go dig that thing down and out and stuff, such as to catch the gravel and what have you. They're willing to look at even lowering the berm a little bit on the seaward side of that, with the thought that if it rains really, really hard, the water will overflow that and then cast its way down to the north parking lot and out. The way the thing works now, as someone who's on the creek at the other extremities, is that even in the biggest rains we had this time, the water came, was retained by the berm, but went into the forest, if you will, which is the part of the National Parks property, and then just sort of leaked out across the roadways, and then made its way to the north parking lot and then out into the ocean, the result of which is that there was no flooding in the Cayes. So we've kind of hit this balance where, after a really big winter, there was no flooding in the Cayes thanks to sort of Mother Nature, and then everybody sort of accepting that's that. So anyway, we're going to clean that basin out so that it can trap gravel and the gravel won't be set further down. Originally put some plants in around that, which were taken out, and we as a flood board are going to get that planting plan and go put trees and bushes back in there just to do that up. We're also going to continue to do glory holes, and the Department of Public Works has asked all of the requisite agencies and gotten all the permits so that we can dig those glory holes out, the idea of which is you take all that gravel out on the upstream and downstream of the bridges, and when the rain comes down, it washes the gravel that's in between those into those holes, and ultimately tries to lower the level of the creek itself, therefore creating a greater capacity. So they're going to continue to do that, and then finally, there's an effort as part of the flood board not just to stop flooding, but also to restore the habitat, with the hope that we might get some steelhead to come back up the creek somewhere down the line. And there's a coalition of various county groups that I'm heading up to try to get that, environmental group, which you'll appreciate, to try to get that to come back.
I remember the steelhead.
So, maybe.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order or otherwise? People I've cut off by not going through the agenda.
That was a very creative interpretation.
Okay, let's hear from... Anyway.
No.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you for presiding.
11:29.
Thank you.
What is it?
He's advertising the
farmers. Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
I mean, there's a lot of things you can do.
That's almost like
I want
Saturday evening.
I think
that's a good